What we accomplish when we meditate is the melting away of the impurities from the soul. And the more that the consciousness attains stillness in the presence of divine love, those impurities dissolve and are transformed. Those impurities have nothing to do with the soul itself, but they have been taken in the course of our experience of many different lifetimes. And some of them have lodged in the soul. They have become sanskaras and seeds of ongoing production of particular kinds of attitudes in the world in the course of our existential trajectory. And at a certain point of our growth, those impurities impede the progress of our upward vertical journey back to God. And they must be released simply because they have a gravity that prevents the ascent of the spirit back to the very center of our being, because they create countervailing mechanisms and shells of defense against those very impurities. So what are these impurities? We're all aware of them. In the West, in the Christian tradition, they were originally called the eight thoughts, which is very interesting, because the early monks of the Christian tradition, the desert fathers and mothers, recognized that the state of purity, pavitrata, is the state where there is no thought. And so they were able to analyze thought itself as the very cause, and you could say medium in which impurity is held. In later Christianity, they began to lose that understanding and they simply referred to the seven deadly sins. I'm sure we're all familiar with those. But if we go back to India, the yogis have been talking about these impurities and how we deal with them for thousands of years. And this is why the threshold condition for the practice of yoga has always been the following of the yamas and the niyamas, the virtues, the psychic hygiene, the practice of becoming nonviolent and free from ego. But the most classical expression of these impurities is in the Bhagavad Gita, and they are there referred to as the five vices. And they are kama, krodha, lobha, moha, and ahankar. Very famous Sanskrit phrase. Kama, we all know from the Kama Sutra, refers to desire. And it is generally simply, specifically, sexual desire. Lust that carries one out toward an externalized urge to see and to possess an object of sexual desire. And the second, krodha, is anger. And anger, of course, has many different levels. Anger is chakra 3. Kama is chakra 2. And then, of course, lobha is greed. And greed, of course, goes back to chakra 1. More subtle than greed is attachment. It's another kind of greed, but it's a holding on to other people, even in one's mind. And below that, then, the final one is ahankar. Aham means I, kar, the doer. I am the doer. I, the ego. Okay? And so it is egocentricity. Nowadays it would be referred to as narcissism. So all of these five are manifestations of the ego. But they don't get down to the deepest level of the impurity, because all of these are expressions of an underlying issue, which is anxiety. All these five are really ways of coping with anxiety and stress. And that underlying anxiety comes from the fact that the ego knows itself to be an illusion. And it identifies with a perishable body, and so, of course, there will be a fear of death and a fear of abandonment, because as a child, abandonment is death. And the abandonment fear produces the attachment and the greed, right? And then the anger is the frustration when one doesn't get what one wants. And the desire, again, at chakra two, is to possess the object that will give one the sense of security. The problem is that no objects, no people will give you the kind of security you need to overcome these defense mechanisms against anxiety. The only source of security we have is that of God. But if we do not have the realization of God, then we cannot find security in the outer world. And we become more and more anxious, more and more dissatisfied, until we just want to die, feeling that it's hopeless to ever find the object that will bring us the security and the sense of wholeness and true being that we lack. But when we begin to meditate and turn inward to discover the source of empowerment and security and fulfillment and love, then we find that it comes from the presence of an energy within that can be accessed when the mind is completely still. And it's in that stillness then that we let go of all of these impurities, because we realize that they weren't what we wanted in the first place. They were only defenses against an illusory problem and terror that was only based on the illusion of an individual existence. And when we have let that go in the stillness of consciousness, when the mind is no longer active, in that moment we are filled with a divine light that brings the realization that the I is not a bodily being, but a presence that is timeless and non-localizable in space, and not any entity separate from the whole. And so we merge back into the Absolute. And the Absolute, which is the one intelligence that is the functioning of the entire universe, is completely without fear. And so we are then able to be in the harmonious functioning of the universe rather than getting in the way of that functioning through our own desires and fears. We allow the flow of the universe to happen. And that flow is both within and without. And there is not even a distinction between within and without. And the very intelligence and power of love that is the life force of the universe flows through the mind and body of the one who is meditating. And one becomes the vessel of that universal life force, rather than some individual separate from it who could lose it. You identify now not as the body that is receiving the life force, but as the life force itself, and ultimately as the source of that life force. Once one has shifted one's identification from the body to the source, then all of the impurities fall away. They're meaningless, they're pointless. And the entire mind then becomes the pure server of the power of God. And one goes from being a jivatman through the marjiva state of the death of the ego illusion to the mahaatma that is the pure manifestation of God. And the mahaatma eventually transcends to the paramatma, or the jivanmukti state of absolute liberation. The avatar that is purely a manifestation of the divine love and consciousness in the world. This is the goal of our internal evolutionary drive. And if we do not get in the way, if we do not allow the impurities of the ego's anxiety to get in the way of that, it happens effortlessly. The very surrender to God brings us to that state. It doesn't take a lot of time. The time only comes from the resistance of these seeds of the impurities. And we want to hold on to them because we think they are the source of our happiness, of our thrills, of our power in the world. When we realize that that's an illusion and that only causes vexation and misery and ultimately a sense of despair, we let all of that go. And and the mind surrenders to the presence of God, and we are free. That's all this process is about. And so it can happen easily without resistance if we are ready to mature sufficiently to be willing to let go of those impurities that we've been holding on to and identifying with. And then what remains when those are dissolved is simply Sat-Chit-Ananda, the bliss, the awareness, the intelligence of the Supreme Being, who is the one being of the entire cosmos. And you are that.